Good day. This day, I will open the floor to all of you and allow you to ask what questions you may in relation to what may be important to you at this point presently, or what you may be engaging difficulty with in any subject. Therefore, I give the floor to all of you.
Hi, Mayor, Elias.
Yes.
This is Cammy. Marae. I've been praying or walking around with you, what you have talked about in the last webinar, about healing and about returning to the point of origin. And you spoke about technology. I was wondering whether an individual can feel or sense the energy pattern in another individual that has a symptom of what we may call dis-ease, and openly, without wanting to change anything, can return that energy frequency, so to speak, and in that way also can help, or without wanting any outcome, an individual.
Could you return another individual's energy to its natural state? Is that what you are inquiring?
Yes. I had wanted to say.
No. Only the individual themselves can do that. You can aid them, therefore you can help them in that direction, but can you return to their natural state? No, for that would be generating a choice for another individual, and you cannot do that.
I maybe phrase it wrong. I understand I cannot interfere in choice, but maybe I'm just wondering about it. So I try to understand if there is an energy frequency, as I understood that you were talking about last time, that an disease or any organ or whatever will have a pattern, and I could possibly feel that.
Yeah.
I would not imply anything else than just to give it back as a signal, but that's not possible.
You can feel it. You can be aware of it. You can tap into another individual's energy, and you can define it, and you can know what the other individual is creating, and in that, could you mirror that back to the individual? Yes, you could do that. Now, that can be somewhat tricky, for in some situations, if the other individual is open to other energies, or if the other individual is requesting help, and that request does not have to be expressed in any verbal communication, but if they are expressing a desire for help and you are projecting an energy that mirrors what the other individual is manifesting. Therefore, yes, if you were producing that same frequency, that same expression, and mirroring it back to the other individual, if they receive it, then yes, it would be affecting. The tricky aspect is the other individual and whether they are receptive or not. For you could be mirroring to the other individual and they could block it. They could shield from it. And therefore, it would be ineffectual. But if they were not shielding, if they were not blocking it, if they were open to receiving it, even if they were not saying that, for many times individuals are receptive, even if they aren't thinking about it or if they aren't expressing in that manner, they may be receptive regardless. And if the individual is receptive, then yes, you could be effective and you could be mirroring. And this would move in conjunction with what we were discussing in our previous conversation about healing, that if you are addressing to the symptom, if you present the same symptom from an outside source as the one that you are experiencing in the moment, it will be affecting of the body consciousness, and the body consciousness will stop the symptom. Therefore, in this scenario, yes, if the other individual is receptive, that would be successful. For that would be a presentment of a mirror of what the body consciousness is doing. Now, in relation to this subject, let me reiterate a significant point that I expressed in our previous discussion about this subject. This principle is only successful within the time framework or while an individual is experiencing a symptom or a manifestation. It is not a preventative and it is not a maintenance expression. Therefore, it only is successful to address to a symptom when the symptom is occurring. In this, it will be successful in relation to any symptom, regardless of what it is. Any feeling or any manifestation, which includes symptoms such as anxiety and depression. And in that, it does not matter what the manifestation is that the body consciousness is generating, it does not matter whether it is an emotional expression or a physical expression. The principle holds in relation to any symptom, but it is only effective while the individual is actually experiencing the symptom. Therefore, it would not be successful to generate this action as a preventative. It will likely do the reverse. And it is not successful in maintaining a particular state. Therefore, you can stop the symptom and you can repeatedly stop the symptom, but this method would not be successful to maintain holding the symptom at bay. The point of this expression or this direction is that whenever an individual is experiencing some type of manifestation, whether it is physical or emotional, your attention is divided. You cannot move your attention singularly or solely to addressing to the cause because your attention will be divided, for part of your attention will be focused on whatever the manifestation is. For the manifestation is bothersome, and therefore your attention automatically moves to it. But the point in this also is that if you stop the manifestation, if you stop the symptom, you can more clearly address to the situation that is actually causing the symptom.
Thank you, Elias.
Because yes.
That would have been the last part of my question, like if and when a symptom is removed, still the cause is there too, but you addressed that in your last lines. Thank you.
You are welcome. Yes, this is correct, that although you may remove the symptom, the cause likely will continue, and that is important to address to. But when you address to the cause before you address to the symptom, two actions generally do happen. One is that you give yourself a reason why you have created a particular manifestation or a particular feeling, and before you have removed that symptom, giving yourself the reason for it can very easily move in the opposite direction of what you expect, which occurs very frequently. Many, many, many individuals will express the question, I know why I created this. Why do I keep creating it? I understand what I am doing or what I have done to create a particular manifestation, but I keep creating it anyway. Why do I keep doing that if I know what the cause is? And that is the point, is that when you are not addressing to the symptom and you address to the cause first, generally how your body interprets that is that now you have a reason to create this. And it is justifiable. And now your body is encouraged to create that same symptom every time you feel in a certain capacity, or every time you experience in a certain capacity, because you didn't address to the symptom first and express that message to your body consciousness. I received the message. And therefore, the body consciousness, regardless that you have given yourself an explanation for whatever it is that you have created, you didn't acknowledge the statement. And that is very important. For in that, if you don't acknowledge the statement, your body continues to generate that same communication again and again. Therefore, in this, when you generate an action that mirrors to the body what the body itself is expressing, it immediately recognizes that as a validation, as an acknowledgement that you did receive the statement. In that, it stops. It stops the signal. Feelings, every feeling, I cannot emphasize this strongly enough, every feeling, physical feelings, emotional feelings, it matters not. Feelings are all signals. And what accompanies those signals are statements, not explanations. Not positions, merely statements. Those statements are not about why or what. They are merely a statement about what you are actually doing while that signal is being expressed. You are perceiving a threat, you are injured, you are afraid, you are excited, you are anticipating. They are very simple, direct statements about what you are actually doing in the time framework that you are feeling. The why and the because are the explanations about what you are doing. And in that, those are your evaluations that you generate in explanation of what you are doing, and to clarify that to yourself. But that is not what you present to yourself initially as the statement. Therefore, the body is only focused on the reception of that statement. The body is not concerned with why and because. The body is only focused on that statement has been received. When you mirror to the body, it immediately recognizes that mirror as the statement was received, and it stops. It almost immediately stops. It may incorporate a very brief moment, which you could assess to be perhaps between 1 and 3 seconds of intensifying the signal, therefore intensifying the feeling, because you have mirrored the symptom and now the body is receiving that mirrored symptom, which is the same as what it is already creating and expressing, and therefore, in a manner of speaking, the feeling is double or intensified, but only for approximately 1 to 3 seconds, and then it stops entirely. In this, when you stop the symptom, when you stop the signal, the feeling, then you address to the reason, the why and the because, and you identify what the cause of that symptom was, now you are expressing a very different message and a very different energy to the body consciousness. You stopped the signal, you stopped the symptom, and you know why you created that particular symptom. When you don't do that, you give yourself the reason why, but the symptom is still continuing. The body does not concern itself with the why. All it concerns itself with is what it is producing. And if that is continuing, what are you doing? When you give yourself an answer of why you created something, how do you do that? Generally, you do that by thinking. You think about it, and you are accessing information within yourself and translating that information through your thought mechanism. Therefore, you think about what the reason is, what the cause is, and you isolate and identify specifically what the cause is. But what are you actually doing? You are thinking. Thinking does nothing. It does not create your reality. It is not an avenue of communication. It does not alter whatever you are creating? Can it influence in different capacities? Yes, it can. It can influence you to be agitated. It can influence you to be sleepless. It can influence you even in relation to feelings, for it can influence you to recall feelings and therefore express them again. But in that, what is your thinking actually doing? Nothing. It is translating. That is all it is doing. It is how you are responding to that translating mechanism that creates all of these other actions to be occurring. Is your thinking actually interrupting your sleep? No. Is your thinking actually creating you to feel something or repeat feel something? No, it is how you are responding or reacting to the information that your thinking is translating. Therefore, thinking does nothing other than translate information. It translates input. That is its function. That is what it does. Therefore, if you are thinking about what the cause is of a particular manifestation, what does that do? Nothing. Does it change it? No. Then it is a matter of you realizing that you have choices. If you generate a manifestation, let us say that you develop a physical manifestation of hives, and you have a rash all over your body, and it is uncomfortable, and it itches, and it burns, and you think about it, and you are accessing information within you, and let us say that you determine that the cause of this physical manifestation of hives is that you were anticipating meeting another individual that frightens you. Therefore, you recognize that this is a threatening situation. It created an anxiety within you. You were projecting in relation to that meeting. You became anxious and you developed this physical manifestation. Now, all of that thinking, did that make those hives disappear? No. You will continue to be uncomfortable and itch and possibly incorporate difficulty breathing. It will not stop the manifestation. Now you know why you created that. But knowing why you created it does not make it stop, because all you are doing is thinking. But when you think about it and you evaluate and you give yourself that information, this is the cause, this is what I am doing, this is what I am manifesting, then you can engage a choice. And then the manifestation might stop, or will likely stop. But in that, if you give yourself the choice to not engage what is creating that anxiety, if you give yourself the choice to move in a direction of what is a benefit to you and not placing yourself in a position that you will be anxious, then the anxiety begins to subside. And when the anxiety begins to subside, likely the physical manifestation of the itching and the rash will begin to subside also. But thinking about it does nothing. The point in giving yourself information as to why you have created something is to give yourself choice. That is why you generate those evaluations. Not to merely think about it, not to merely know it by thinking about it, but to give yourself choice, to engage different, and therefore change the scenario that is creating the manifestation. And this is the reason that it is important to move in that reverse direction. Address the symptom first, then move in the direction of addressing to the cause. And when you address to the cause, recognize that that is your presentment of choice. Therefore, that is the moment of becoming proactive, doing a choice that is different and therefore will change the direction and not lead you in the direction that is causing the symptom. If any of you have questions or don't understand any aspect of that, express it.
You and I, this was very enlightening to me, and I hope for others as well.
How are you? You spoke about the hive situation, which would be classified as an acute condition. What about a more, say, an advanced disease state or a chronic condition? You know, you would address the symptom or symptoms, plural, and then you would go about finding the why. Would the same hold true there?
Yes, it would. Let me express to you that contrary to what most individuals think or believe or perceive, it matters not how long an individual has created a particular manifestation, or how often, or for how many years or how chronic it is, meaning how continuous it is, or how severe it is. It matters not what stage, in a manner of speaking, you are in the development of any particular manifestation or symptom. You have choice in every moment and in every situation and aspect of development. It matters not how much concentration you have given to any particular subject. You always have choice, and you can change it in a moment, which we have discussed previously in relation to the subject of miracles. That is simply what an individual is doing when they express that they have experienced a miracle. They are engaging a different choice. They are stopping the concentration that is familiar to them and moving in an entirely different concentration. And that can occur at any moment, at any time, and in any phase of any development of a symptom, a disease, a condition, anything. I would express that regardless of how chronic a situation may be, or how absolute a situation may seem, it can be altered. Now, I will express to you that given any individual's expressed beliefs, and including what you believe, which is what you trust, with some manifestations that may be more challenging than others. For in this, there are some manifestations that most of you express in very absolute terms. I would express to you that in relation to certain manifestations such as neurological damage, most of you hold an expression of believing that once you have damaged your body consciousness in a neurological capacity, that it is irreversible and that you cannot change it. And that does interplay with this situation, for in that you can once again understand the reason or the cause, but if you hold to that believing that a situation is irreversible or it is absolute, then you disempower yourself, and in that, it is likely that it will either be considerably difficult to alter the physical manifestation, or you likely won't alter the physical manifestation. And once again, I will reiterate, thinking about it does not make it so. Meaning you can think that you believe that anything is possible. You can think that you believe that anything is irreversible. But thinking it does nothing. And expressing thinking it does not mean that that is what you actually believe. You can think that you believe that you are not bound by gravity. But if you are continuing to walk about your planet and be tethered to the ground, the evidence points to you do believe that gravity is affecting you. And this, the point is, thinking is not enough. It is helpful. It is important. It is instrumental in how you evaluate and what you present to yourself in translating information. Therefore, it is valuable, but it doesn't change expressions because it doesn't create your reality. Thinking only translates it. It does not change it. And you even think that thinking does change your reality. I will express to you quite definitely, it does not. And you can think and think and think and continue to experience very contrary to what you are thinking. And in that, be confused because you think you believe what you are thinking. And you don't necessarily, because it is a matter of what you are doing, which is the reason that I have also expressed that even feeling is not necessarily an indicator as to what energy you are projecting or what you are creating. What is the indicator is what you are doing. That is what is your gauge as to what it is that you are creating and what you are engaging. Your evidence is in what you are doing. And in this, once again, nothing is hidden from you. You are reflecting every moment of your existence. Therefore, you always have input as to what you are doing because you are always reflecting. But it is a matter of what you are paying attention to and whether you are paying attention to what you are doing, or whether you are paying attention to what is occurring around you to the exclusion of what you are doing. Or paying attention to what you think you are doing to the exclusion of everything around you, therefore not paying attention to all of your input through your reflections. Therefore, this would lead us to the piece of that interconnectedness in relation to you are always reflecting, you are always giving yourself input in relation to what you are doing and what you are projecting. And in that, I would express to all of you, there are many time frameworks in which individuals feel miserable and think that they are accomplishing nothing and doing nothing. And in actuality, they are moving and they are accomplishing. And I have expressed that to many of you. You may not see it at a particular point, but that does not mean you are not doing it. And the only reason you don't see it is because of what you are paying attention to. And what would you usually be paying attention to if you are miserable? Being miserable. If you are creating a dis-ease, what will you usually pay attention to? The disease. And how uncomfortable you are. It is automatic because you feel. And feelings are very strong and they are powerful and they are attractive. Attractive doesn't necessarily mean you like it. It means it attracts you. It attracts your attention. And feelings are designed to do just that. And they do. Very exquisitely. And that is what you pay attention to. That is the reason that I emphasize that point of how important it is to address to symptoms first. It is somewhat of a moot point if an individual is feeling considerably depressed. If they discover that the reason that they are depressed is because of associations that they generated from the time of a small one that have been influencing them year after year, and it has moved to a point in which the scales have been tipped and they cannot ignore it any longer and they cannot override it any longer and now they are depressed. Does it change the situation that the individual now knows why they are depressed? No. And where is their concentration? And where is their attention? Likely on the feeling of being depressed. It is very difficult to alter those types of expressions when your concentration and your attention are fixed on them. And as I expressed in relation to this principle of like cures like that we began this day with, in this, it applies to those situations also, such as depression and anxiety. Now, I will express to all of you, for I'm aware that even if any of you yourselves have not experienced it, you likely know someone who has or does experience depression or anxiety. In this, your one science of psychiatry has actually applied this principle very effectively. The difficulty and the challenge is that they move in a direction of using it as a maintenance, and it is not designed to be a maintenance. But I will express that you have developed medications that do actually create those symptoms of anxiety and depression, and you use them, or your physicians use them, in that capacity to mirror to the body consciousness, and they are very effective temporarily. They are very effective. They do generate that mirror action initially, which is what they are designed to do. And the body receives that message, receives that mirror, and it stops. And the individual stops feeling the anxiety or the depression. Now, there are variations with this, for if an individual is incorporating one particular medication and it does not mirror to the body consciousness precisely what that individual is expressing, then likely it will be unsuccessful and the individual will continue to feel depressed or anxious. And in that situation, that is the incorrect medication for that individual. But expressing the assumption that you are offered a medication that does match your symptoms, it likely will be successful. The challenge is that your physicians will encourage you to continue to incorporate the medication when you don't feel the symptoms any longer. And that leads in the direction of the challenge and the problem, in a manner of speaking, because these medications are designed to create those symptoms. Therefore, if you are not feeling those symptoms or experiencing those symptoms, the medication will create them. And it creates a very uncomfortable circle, which the individual incorporates the medication and feels better, and then the medication creates the symptom that they were supposed to be altering. And this has become a significant challenge in your present time framework, for there are many, many, many individuals that are incorporating these medications at this present time framework. And if they were instructed to incorporate the medication in the manner that it will actually interact successfully with the body consciousness, that would be excellent. But it is not a maintenance situation with these medications. It is expressed that it is, but it is not. And in that, this is the reason that it is important to be informed in relation to how you function. how your body communicates with you and how you can communicate or instruct your body in objective manners, not only subjective manners. Yes, your subjective awareness instructs your body consciousness, and it guides it in a manner of speaking. But that does not mean that you are helpless in relation to whatever your body is creating, for you are creating what your body is creating. In that, you can address to that objectively also. And this is the reason that I have expressed this information about this direction and this action of Light Cures Like, for it is successful, but it is not a maintenance and it is not a preventative. Now, as to this subject of preventatives, let me express briefly in relation to that also. For I'm aware that there are many, many, many of you that move very easily in the direction of preventative. Let me express to you, if you are being responsible to you, if you are expressing in a manner that is to your greatest benefit, you will automatically generate a natural byproduct of being preventative in a manner of speaking without that intention, because you will be moving in the direction of what is your optimal function and not moving in directions of discomfort, dis-ease, or projecting in manners that create fear and anxiety. I would express that when you concentrate on preventative methods, you are moving in a direction of concentrating on what you don't want. You are focusing your attention not on health. You are focusing your attention on the potential for the lack of health. Therefore, you are focusing on what you don't want and lack. That is what preventative actions lead you into. This is another reason that it is important to be aware of what you are doing and what is motivating. For in moving in the direction of preventatives, you are concentrating on what you don't want, and you will likely move in directions that are uncomfortable. Or you will likely experiment with actions that are not necessarily compatible with you, and therefore create discomfort for yourself, because that is what you are concentrating on. Concentrating on not being whole, with the potential of being less than what you want. And this holds to every direction, not merely physical health. It holds to money, it holds to relationships, it holds to business, it holds to anything you do. For you can move in preventative directions in relation to any subject. You can find something to avoid in relation to any subject, and how to prevent something from happening. That is not living your life artfully and to the fullest. That is living in anticipation and fear. And what is fun in that?
Nothing.
And once again, I will reiterate, if you have questions or if you are not understanding anything that I have expressed, move in the direction of expressing that and I will explain.
So, Elias, the world is full of many, many maintenance medications.
Yes, it is.
So you have given me a new insight on this. Really, in actuality, beliefs aside, there isn't that much need for maintenance medication.
I would agree.
If we're going to address symptom in the moment and use the Mara type of philosophy, my goodness, it really kind of changes the idea about the whole pharmaceutical industry.
I would very much agree, and I would express that they would likely express considerable opposition to this.
I agree.
But what I would express is, in actuality, that in relation to medications, there are many uses for medications that can be effective and successful. It is the application of them that is questionable. As I expressed in relation to psychiatry and their development of medications that create the symptoms of anxiety and depression, and they are considerably successful in generating that mirror action to the body consciousness, and it does stop the experience. It does stop that feeling of depression or anxiety. That is not the difficulty. The difficulty is, as you expressed, in using that as a maintenance medication, for it is not designed to be that. And in that, it in actuality generates the reverse. It creates the symptom. And many, many medications do this. They generate a particular expression that the body recognizes and responds to in the moment, but then They are used as medications to be maintaining, and what they do is actually create the symptom that they are supposed to be maintaining the body against. Think about a medication for pain. Now, in this, the medication does not simulate pain per se. What it does is it simulates a particular response in your neurological firing in your brain. Therefore, what it does is it mirrors the neurological expression that your brain is creating that you recognize as pain. You interpret that signal as pain. The drug or the medication simulates that same action in your brain, not in your body. A pain medication does not move through your system, through your digestive system, or through your blood system to that particular area of your body that hurts. That is not what it does. It moves to your brain and it creates a mirror of what your brain is doing in the moment. And what that does is it signals your body expresses signal received, and the pain stops. But, now, if you continue to incorporate that pain medication when you are not experiencing pain any longer, what happens? You start developing other symptoms. It begins to create other symptoms. For now, it is creating the symptom that it was supposed to be stopping, because it was never intended to target a particular area of your body. It was intended to express a particular signal in your brain that tells you that there is some pain in a particular area of your body. But you cannot continue to incorporate that medication when you are not experiencing pain without it creating other symptoms. It will, for that is what it is designed to do. And that is what your body will receive. Now it is giving your body instructions to create other symptoms. This occurs with anything that you use as a mirror, but then continue to incorporate as maintenance, it will be unsuccessful. for that is not how your body operates, and it is not only your species. This holds to all species. Therefore, offering a particular medication to an animal when the animal is not actually experiencing a symptom will actually create other symptoms. Therefore, in this, in relation to your pharmaceutical companies, it is not that they do not incorporate a place, so to speak, in your reality. They do at this point. They won't forever, but they do at this point. But it is the misuse of those pharmaceuticals by the physicians that are employing them. It is not the pharmaceuticals themselves, it's how they are being engaged and how they are being used. Which would apply once again to almost anything. It is not necessarily any particular subject in itself that may be harmful or uncomfortable. It is what you do with it.
Hi, Elias. This is Jeff.
Wow.
I have a question for you. Suppose you have a headache. Now, my first reaction is to take an aspirin. But if we're going to mirror that, aside from taking an aspirin, and aside from it not working because your thoughts can't change it, what would I do to make the pain go away without taking an aspirin?
That would depend on the actual symptom. And this is an excellent point, for this is an important factor in relation to any manifestation. It is a matter of being specific. When you express you have a headache, there are many, many different expressions of headache. What does that actually mean? What are you actually experiencing? Some individuals may be experiencing an actual sharp pain. Other individuals may be experiencing disorientation or pressure or some discomfort in relation to sensitivity to light or to sound, and it is uncomfortable, but it may not necessarily be an actual stabbing pain. Now, in this, it is first of all a matter of identifying what are you actually experiencing? What are you actually feeling? Is it pressure? Is it disorientation? Is it sensitivity? Is it tingling? What is it that you are actually feeling? Then once you have defined what you are actually feeling, it is a matter of allowing yourself to evaluate. What do I know that would create that experience if I wasn't feeling it? If I was not feeling this sensation, if I was neutral and I was feeling no physical sensation at all, what would create that if I engaged a particular action? Whatever it is that will create the same expression, the same symptom, if you were not experiencing it, when you are experiencing it, will mirror to the body. Therefore, if you are experiencing pressure, let us say, what action would generate pressure with your head? Let us say you were experiencing pressure in the frontal area of your head and pressure behind your eyes. Can you think of a very simple action that creates pressure in your head? You all have done it. Plug your nose and blow. It creates pressure. It creates pressure in the area of your head, which is in the frontal area behind your eyes and in association with your sinuses. Therefore, generating the same pressure would generate a mirror action. Let us say that you incorporate discomfort in the back of your head towards the top of your spine, the base of your head. Now, in that, if you are genuinely defining what do you actually feel, you may express that you feel tension, you feel tightness in that area. What would be an action that would create tension or tightness? Can you offer any suggestion? And it does not have to be precisely at the base of your head. It could be with your neck or with your shoulders, for they will radiate to the base of your head. What action can you do that would mirror that tightness or that tension?
You could shrug your shoulders.
In a significantly tense manner, yes. Let us say that you have a pain in the top and the sides of your head, which is also feeling as a considerable pressure. Most headaches are pressure. That is what you are interpreting as pain. You are feeling pressure in relation to your actual brain. Your actual brain is generating an action in which momentarily or for certain time frameworks, what it is doing is it is expanding. It is swelling to a degree, and it does this to varying degrees. And what you are feeling is that pressure against bone. Your brain is considerably soft tissue, and it is the center of your nervous system, and therefore, it is a ball of nerves, and the tissue is very soft. When it pushes against that hard surface of bone, it creates pressure, and that creates pain. It irritates the nerves. Now, what could mirror that pressure to the top and the sides of your head? Place your head upside down. If your head is upside down, you will feel that pressure of your physical brain. It is not only your blood rushing to your head. That is a fallacy. I would express what you are doing when you are upside down is you are creating a pressure in relation to your brain shifting position against your skull. And it creates a different type of pressure. And it can be uncomfortable. In that, inverting yourself and placing your head upside down mirrors to your body that same pressure, and it stops. Therefore, what is significantly important is to clearly identify it is pointless to express, I have a pain, or I am uncomfortable. These are considerable generalities. It is a matter of specifically identifying what you are feeling, what you are experiencing, and then pausing and giving yourself ideas about what would create that same symptom, that same feeling, if you were not experiencing the feeling. What would make you vomit if you were not nauseous? Therefore, when you are nauseous, whatever that was that would make you vomit, when you are not nauseous, when you are nauseous, that same expression will stop it. If you are experiencing anxiety, What would create anxiety for you if you were not experiencing anxiety? If you were carefree and happy, what would create an anxiety for you? If you are experiencing an anxiety, generate that same action. With any of these expressions, as I expressed previously, momentarily between 1 and 3 seconds, it will increase exponentially, but then it will stop. It will increase momentarily because the body is recognizing that mirror, and therefore you are now experiencing double, but it only occurs between 1 and 3 seconds, and then it stops. If you are afraid of enclosed places and you become considerably anxious if you are in a lift and you are experiencing anxiety, you place yourself in a lift and push the button to lock, now you are trapped in the lift. It will likely create that situation of anxiety. But what will happen is you will experience that moment of increased anxiety and then calm. It will stop. This is also the reason in our previous conversation that I expressed to you those examples of what I have expressed at times previously with individuals in relation to engaging an inspirational or tragic film. It not only gives them an avenue in which they can express a feeling, but they are presenting to themselves a mirror of what they are experiencing, and it stops. You cry and you feel better. And you do not have to engage some lengthy process or medication. And I shall leave you all to ponder on all of this. And I shall be anticipating our next meeting quite soon.
Yes. Thank you.
And perhaps in physical proximity. I'm tremendously encouraging of all of you. And as my gift to each of you this day, I shall be offering my energy to each of you in comfort that you feel and experience well. Tremendous love of this. Every one of you.
Bye.
Au revoir.
Thank you.
Au revoir.